TED Audio Collective.
You're listening to TED Talks Daily. I'm Elise Hu. We're going on a few field trips in today's episode with paleontologist Martin Lockley. In his 2022 talk from TEDx Mile High, he draws a link between the footprints of dinosaurs and discoveries about their behavior, even how they acted in love, way back in prehistoric times. After a short break. The show is brought to you by Schwab. You're here to keep a pulse on environmental trends. Well, now you can invest in what's trending in electric vehicles, renewable energy, water sustainability, and more with Schwab Investing Themes. It's an easy way to invest in ideas you believe in. Schwab's research uncovers emerging trends, then their technology curates relevant stocks into themes. Choose from over 40 themes, buy all the stocks in a theme as is, or customize to better fit your investing goals, all in a few clicks. Schwab Investing Themes is not intended to be investment advice or a recommendation of any stock or investment strategy. Learn more at schwab.com/thematic investing. TED Talks Daily is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings was $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Support for TED Talks Daily comes from Odoo. What is Odoo? Well, Odoo is a lot of things. Odoo is award-winning management software. Odoo is total control of your entire company in one place. Odoo is a suite of fully integrated applications for CRM, accounting, sales, HR, inventory, manufacturing, and everything in between. Basically, Odoo is what your business needs to succeed. So if you're ready to get more done in less time, visit odoo.com/TED Talks. That's odoo.com/TED Talks. Odoo, business management made simple.
Like TED Talks? You should check out the TED Radio Hour with NPR. Stay tuned after this talk to hear a sneak peek of this week's episode.
I'm a paleontologist, which means I have what I'm told is every seven-year-old's dream job. But I don't spend my time digging up the remains of dead animals. Instead, I'm on the trail of clues left by dinosaurs and other extinct animals when they were active and very much alive. If I were to share with you some tracking tips, could you also become master trackers and find these same clues? Why not? 50 years ago, most paleontologists thought that fossil footprints, which we also call trace fossils, were rare and unimportant. In fact, some scientific journals actually rejected papers on fossil footprints without even sending them out for review. And this was because at that time, it was mostly all about bones. And you can see this by just looking at how many dinosaur skeletons there are in museums around the world. But sometimes these bones don't tell us quite as much as we might think. Take a look at your own body. You've got one skeleton, right? But how much could we really learn about you and all your day-to-day activities just by looking at your bones alone? Not much, perhaps. Fossil footprints, therefore, help us to bring these bones alive. They are the nearest thing we really have to motion pictures or movies of extinct animals. So there's a big difference between the study of fossil footprints or trace fossils and bones. For example, imagine a dinosaur track site the size of a football field with 5,000 or maybe even 10,000 fossil footprints. This is direct evidence of the activity of dozens, possibly hundreds, of dinosaurs going about their daily activity. Sites like this give us dinosaur detectives the ultimate CSI challenge. And so it's no wonder that the famous Sherlock Holmes once said, "There's no branch of detective science so important and so much neglected as the art of tracing footsteps." He fully understood the importance of fossil footprints in reconstructing the activity and behavior of track makers that had left the scene of the crime. Fossil footprints bring animals back to life then. Today I'm on the trail of a T-Rex, tomorrow I'm tracking a Stegosaurus. The living animal can walk, run, hop, skip, jump, dig a burrow, excavate a nest. Tracks will tell us the direction an animal's going in, whether it was a small or large, a juvenile or an adult. Tracks of fast-moving dinosaurs can even tell us that they could outsprint Usain Bolt at 30 miles per hour. Tracks may also tell us if an animal was limping or injured, or whether it was traveling alone or in a group. Tracks, therefore, played a pivotal role in what we call the dinosaur renaissance of recent years. This is when dinosaurs got a sophisticated makeover, and they were no longer regarded as stupid, defunct failures. Instead, they were transformed into dynamic, athletic, intelligent movie stars. I've probably found and studied a few hundred fossil footprint sites over the years, so let me take you on a little field trip to one of my favorite locations, South Korea. Here on the shores of South Korea, we see these rocky steps, and each one represents a mini landscape 100 million years old. This first surface, we'll see one of those fast-moving theropods heading off to the north at high speed. On the next level, we see a series of parallel trackways representing the dinosaurs we call brontosaurs. They were probably sub-adults, not fully grown, but they were still larger than baby elephants. On the next level, we see the tracks of thousands of birds. These are only 1 inch long, but they're indistinguishable from the tracks of a modern sandpiper or a plover on a lakeshore. Up on the next level, we see another trackway of a giant animal with a footprint 3 feet in diameter. It must have weighed 10 tons and been 100 feet long. On the next level, we find the extraordinary trackway of a bipedal crocodile. These are extremely rare, and they probably looked like the carnivorous dinosaurs and were just as ferocious at 15 feet long. Lastly, we step up one more level and we have the tiny tracks of a lizard, and next to it, the tracks of a heron-like bird. This heron might have been a lizard eater. Well, we haven't walked that far along the shoreline, but we still stepped up through 1,000 years represented by 5 or 6 layers of strata. Each surface is a mini landscape. Each surface is a time-lapse frame in a documentary about life along a 100 million-year-old Korean lakeshore. When we go around this next headland, we run into a group of school children with clipboards and tape measures, and they're busy estimating the size and speed of a dozen different dinosaurs from their tracks. Their young teacher is a paleontologist. She studied fossil footprints for her master's degree, and since she graduated, this area has become a national natural monument. This area has also been designated the Korean Cretaceous Dinosaur Coast, or the KCDC. Let's take another field trip and we'll find ourselves in Colorado. Meet my friends Ken and Jason. They're not paleontologists, but they know the difference between a bobcat track or a coyote track if they see one. These two lads have actually found more fossil footprint sites than most professional paleontologists, and that's because they've learned how and where to look. As they say, just observe and you'll see a lot. We're looking at these extraordinary traces. They're very puzzling. What are they? Long story short, we figure out that these are the traces left by dinosaurs excavating what are called pseudo-nests. It turns out that these particular dinosaurs are the ancestors of modern birds, and they like to show off their prowess as nest builders during the breeding season. This is an extraordinary discovery because it's practically a dinosaurian lover's lane. It's a rendezvous for dinosaurian trysts, a rendezvous for lovebirds. What's also interesting is that paleontologists, once they learned that these particular dinosaurs were the ancestors of modern birds, they wrote hundreds of scientific papers speculating, and I say speculating, on whether they used their colored crests and colored feathers to show off during the breeding season. They probably did show off. We actually have the first physical evidence of dinosaur courtship. And what's more, it tells us that this behavior went back for 100 million years. So males showing off to females or partners showing off to one another, it's nothing new. My dad was actually a ornithologist, and he studied the behavior of modern birds during their frenzied energetic activity in the breeding season. He'd be absolutely astonished by this kind of evidence of fossil behavior among dinosaurs. Imagine for a minute these little birds scratching in the sand, and how different it would be to see a giant 2,000-pound carnivorous dinosaur gouging huge scoops in the substrate. Imagine the hormonal cries and the frenzied roars. This seems newsworthy. We predict that it will be more than just another report of a dinosaur discovery. And sure enough, we make the lead on the Nature Journal website and we get into the monologues of the late night talk show comedians. I'd be rich if I had a dollar for every person who told me that they really wished they'd been a paleontologist when they grew up. I'd also do okay if I had a dollar for every fossil footprint I found. But knowing that the Earth's bedrock is full of these treasures, my motto is quite simple. Just keep on tracking, keep on exploring. But the real satisfaction comes from the thrill of knowing that I can find these sites, that my friends and colleagues can find these sites, that people like you can find these sites, and that they have become valued and protected destinations. It's very important that these landscapes, these ancient landscapes, are preserved because they are actual Jurassic parks. They are places where dinosaurs and extinct animals lived and loved and fought for survival. Just as we protect sites like Stonehenge or Pompeii or the Grand Canyon, we need to protect these sites for the future. This is what we call our geoheritage. It is Earth's memory, and it's vitally important that we preserve it for the next seven generations of seven-year-old dinosaur trackers. Thank you very much.
Scientist Andrew Dent helps manufacturers rethink how they make stuff.
This one I thought might be interesting. Merdicotta. It's actually cups and bowls that are manufactured out of cow manure.
But this is poop. This is cow poop.
This is cow poop, yes.
But it looks really nice.
On the hunt for a sustainable future and reimagining how we get there. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR. Subscribe or listen to the TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.